this week on It's So Bad, we really have our finger on the pulse, which is why today we're talking about Hexen, the dark fantasy first-person shooter from 1993 on It's So Bad. Welcome, Matt.
What up, what up?
To the podcast. How are you doing?
I'm fabulous. Great to be back.
It's been a little while.
Yeah, since we recorded.
We had a break last week, but we are back and we are today talking about another game, which you chose, which is called Hexen.
Yes, Hexen. Yeah, I...
First off, why did you choose this game?
Well, I remembered it existed. My brother and I had it for the PlayStation, and for the PlayStation 1.
Who got it? Why did they get it?
I don't know why we had it, because it's a mature rated game, I presume. We might have even
it had to have been.
There's gore, yeah. And I know at the time we weren't allowed to have it because I had to return Metal Gear Solid when I got it.
Oh,
and that must have been later than Hexen.
It must have been.
So somehow we ended up with a copy. And after playing through it in its entirety recently, I'm sure we didn't get out of the first level, you know, when we played it.
I remember myself. I played this game before I played Doom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I definitely remember playing this game before Doom.
Like on a PC?
Yes, on a PC. So I got my first PC, I remember the year, it was 1993, and it was a Pentium.
Okay.
It was not a Pentium, whatever. It was just a Pentium.
Is that like a 486 computer, or I lose track of like the terminology of
early
PCs.
No, well, it wasn't really an early PC. It was when it was Pentium. It was like 75 megahertz.
Okay.
And it was a Windows 95 machine, for example.
Oh, okay. Yeah. My family had a 486, and it was like a Windows 3.1.
Yeah. Our first PC was Windows 95.
Ah, nice.
So, yeah.
You could play a lot more games on a Windows 95 than you could on a 3.1. Yeah, I learned that the hard way.
I remember early games that I had. I didn't have Hexen. I like must have had like a shareware copy of it or something. But I had Doom 2. I had Civilization 2. I had TIE Fighter. X-Wing, those games.
Right.
It had a CD-ROM driver that was a 4X CD-ROM drive.
Oh, cool.
Which was like badass back then.
It's four times as fast.
Four times as fast. So, yes. This podcast is It's So Bad. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, etc., wherever you find your podcasts. And we are adding this game today to our endless list of games. And our endless list is basically a list of games that currently runs from Super Mario 64 all the way through, what's the last game on the list?
Pro Wrestling.
Pro Wrestling for the Sega Master System.
Master System. 32 games so far.
32 games with 33 episodes. This is going to be our 34th episode.
Oh.
Cool. And it's judged upon whatever we feel like judging in the given day, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, it's an evolving list. It's a living document. I think a lot of it is relative to the games already on the list.
Right. Well, it has to be.
Well, I guess you're right.
It's judged upon how good the games are, how good they were, how influential they were, how good they were in the time period where they came out, how their gameplay stood out from different games on the list.
Kind of see how well it's aged. I think that's a sign of quality to me.
Yes.
At least personally.
Right. So, we've talked about Hexen, but what is Hexen?
Hexen is, I guess a Doom clone is an accurate term. It's another id Software game.
Yes. Made by id Software, developed by Raven Software.
Yep.
Produced by John Romero, guy who...
the John Romero.
The guy who made Doom.
Yes. Yeah, he was... I guess he was like the lead designer of Doom, right?
And yes.
Like Carmack was the like technical designer.
Right. John developer. Romero does have credits on the engine though behind Doom as well.
Oh, he does. Oh, okay.
So
I know Carmack was like the real brain behind the, you know, technological advancements
right.
of the engine and everything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a fantasy first person shooter kind of. It's mostly like, you know, melee into, you know, ranged magic weapons, but
well, it really depends upon what class you pick.
I guess you're right. Let's go there.
Because you can pick different classes in this game. There's three different classes you can pick from: the fighter, the cleric, and the mage.
Yes.
And which one did you pick when you played?
I played as the cleric.
Oh,
most recently.
We should have talked about this. I played as a cleric.
Well, I did. I did go back and, you know, play the first level with the other guys, so it wasn't so bad.
I guess the fighter is like OP, because whenever I see playthroughs of it, people play as the fighter.
Yeah, it's funny. As soon as I played as the fighter and saw like his punch, like the sprite for it, I had all these flashbacks, because that was definitely what my brother and I would, we'd just like punch everything, and we thought it was, you know, pretty, it is pretty badass. So
yeah, so you can, and they all have very different weapons as well, but
they have different weapons, they have different like speed and health. And I think even, you know, the level, like the enemies they spawn are different.
Really?
It's the same set of enemies, but it's a different ratio.
Oh, interesting.
In order to, you know, balance the style.
Right.
Play style.
So this game came out in October of 1995. And to put that into perspective, Doom, the original one, came out in December of 1993. Doom 2 came out in September of 1994. In 1995, you had March had Chrono Trigger and Descent, another first-person Doom-like that was just a different spin on Doom.
I've not played Descent.
Should play that game. I love that game back in the day. That's another game I had for PC. Earthbound came out in June of 1995. Street Fighter Alpha came out in June. Star Wars TIE Fighter came out in October, another game from our list. And then after this game came out, Twisted Metal came out in 1995. So, kind of just putting into perspective where this game lies in the overall lineage. But this game is a takes the Doom engine and puts a layer of fantasy on it. And so you can go in and fight orcs-ish kind of guys and demons.
Centaurs.
Yes, a lot of centaurs.
A lot of sword centaurs.
They're actually called Slaughtars.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
That's what their name is.
Yeah.
You can find this game on, as we mentioned, PlayStation, PC. It's on Steam currently on sale. You can get it for the Sega Saturn and the N64. I have the N64 version. I played it. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It is not good.
It's a...
I mean, the PC version out of the box is not good either. So.
Right, yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of advancements since this game came out.
So just...
The PC first-person shooter... You know, realm. So obviously. This is a primitive first person shooter,
yes,
in my opinion.
And if for people listening, if you go out and you buy this game and you try to find it, you're gonna have to do some work to make it playable.
Right. To make it like contemporaneously playable. Like, you know, you can play it. It's not like it doesn't boot.
No,
like
but
it runs on modern operating systems.
No, but when the defaults when you play it is the mouse moves your character.
Yeah, it's pretty
so
brutal.
If you move your mouse forward, the character moves forward, and if you move it side to side, it moves side to side. It's really weird.
And
I don't even remember that being a thing back in the day.
Yeah,
I thought it was WASD always.
Well, I distinctly remember, you know, having to use the arrow keys.
Oh, I remember the arrow keys.
And I remember left and right not being strafe but turn.
That's so dumb.
but
I guess you learn over the course of time, right?
But I do feel like, you know, even back then, or, you know, in the early days of me playing PC games, like changing your key configurations was always a thing.
Yeah.
That's happened less and less more recently.
Right.
But
right,
at the time, I always, like, that was the very first thing I had to do. I had to just go through the options list and just customize my controls.
Right. Yep. I agree. Yep.
You know, so I don't hold, like, you know, it definitely shows its age that it spawns, or, you know, the game boots up in this very primitive control fashion, but you can still configure it.
Right. And also you can download mods for it. So if you want the ideal experience for playing this game is to go in and actually put in Z-Doom, I think. Did you download Z-Doom?
Yeah, like G-Z-Doom. Is that the same thing? I don't even know, to be honest. It's like a Doom source port, right?
Yeah, so if you Google mods for Hexen, the first thing that pops up is I think it's Z-Doom. Mm-hmm. And Z-Doom is something where it takes you 2 minutes in order to do it. It just drops files into where your program is, and then it looks infinitely better. Looks way better.
Yeah, it looks better, and it gives you a lot more
options.
Yeah, And it makes one thing that was helpful for me is it makes the save screen much different. We've got a much longer list of saves.
Oh, I didn't even get into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Okay, yep. But I'd just go in there and I'd hit save, and then I'd go over it. And it had, like, the auto saves whenever you go into a new area. So
those are a godsend.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So this was built with a Doom engine. There was only a couple games built with the Doom engine, the original Doom engine.
Right.
Doom, Doom 2, Final Doom, Heretic, which was Hexen is a sequel to Heretic.
Yeah, I had no idea until halfway through I was playing this game.
Right. And there's no
sequel.
You wouldn't know if you played the game.
I ended up reading the manual, and that was that kind of made references to it.
Right.
But yeah.
In the game, you wouldn't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's Heretic, Hexen, Strife, which I didn't know was a game.
Never heard of it.
I've seen it since I played this game. It's like being sold on GOG. I've never.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I haven't like looked into it. There's a game called Free Doom. There's a game called Hacks, which is H-A-C-X, and Twitch and Kill is what the subscript is. Hacks, Twitch and Kill.
Okay.
And then finally, the other game that was made with the Doom engine is Chex Quest.
So I was playing this game, you know, the past couple of weeks, and every time my girlfriend walked by, she's like, oh, Chex Quest. It's like, yeah, basically, it's the same thing.
What game is it?
Hexen.
She
just recognized it as Chex Quest.
They actually, on Twitter, Chex was saying that they're going to re-release Chex Quest in HD.
Oh, yeah. And, well, didn't they officially release two? The one came out yesterday or the day before.
It's real weird.
It was a really weird coincidence that, like, you know, she mentioned it, and it's the first time I've heard
Chex Quest
in, like, a decade at least. And then, yeah, all of the news in the past week.
Yeah, so I don't know if we're, like, talking about it like everybody should know,
yeah,
but Chex is like, a cereal out there.
It is a cereal.
And Chex Quest was a game that came with the cereal at one point.
It's probably the best, like, advertising game, like, purely advertisement game, right?
No.
No?
for the NES, there's MC Kids, Mick Kids.
I don't know. Oh, like McDonald's?
Yeah, and it's really good. It's like Super Mario Bros. 3 clone.
Oh, okay.
It's very good. I like that game.
Maybe we'll play that one day.
I'm trying to think of other ones. Sneak King?
Oh, true. Sneak King. Well, Burger King had like like three or four games that came out
Big
at that
Bumpin'
time, right? Yeah, yeah.
I forget the other one. There's three of them, I think. But yeah, Sneak King, Big Bumpin', and something else. Side note, this is created by created originally by John Carmack, the Doom engine, as we mentioned. It was originally developed on NEX computers. Do you know what NEX is?
It's like a Unix OS.
I think so. It's the company that what's his name, the Apple guy,
Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs left Apple for like a year or two, and then made NEX, and then went back to Apple. So it was really developed on those computers. It was a huge leap from Wolfenstein 3D. I don't understand how it's a huge leap.
A huge leap as in, are you talking about like graphical fidelity?
Yeah, the engine because there's a Wolfenstein 3D engine and there was a Doom engine.
Oh, the Doom engine itself.
Yes. It's got pretty much the same. I can't really tell a difference, and I don't really.
Yeah, I don't know much about the Wolfenstein engine. I know that a lot of advancements in like the Doom engine were about how it renders different things that like are within your field of view.
Okay.
And like how efficiently it did that.
Yeah, and I also was reading that the original Doom engine, which you couldn't do. There couldn't be any slopes.
Right. Yeah.
No slopes were in it, so every wall that you see or surface had to be perpendicular
mm-hmm.
to one another.
Right.
So
so it was like a 90-degree angle from the floor to the wall.
Yeah, always. So even if you walk upstairs, mm-hmm. it's all perpendicular. There's no slopes on anything. And if there is a slope, it's like a flat image.
Right, yeah.
So, and everything that you see is all flat images. So all the enemies, the keys, they're all flat. You can't like walk around them. It's not actually 3D. It's
yeah, they like pseudo rotate 3D. As you. That's even for like the enemy sprites and stuff. Right. They all rotate, you know, as to be facing you.
Right. So it's weird. Yeah. So as we mentioned, the N64 version sucks. I didn't play the PlayStation or Sega Saturn versions, but on the N64 version in particular, there's no strafing at all.
Oh, really?
So you can't strafe.
That's pretty bad.
It's also super dark. It's okay. Incredibly dark. You can't really change the lighting that much, and if you do, it gets all like washed out.
I would not recommend playing any early FPS on any console port. I feel like, you know, it was only till, you know, Halo and, you know, maybe a couple years before then, but that I feel like the using a controller for a first-person shooter became
GoldenEye.
Enjoyable. Oh, yeah, you're right. GoldenEye, sure.
Yeah, GoldenEye was the game that did it. Because before that, a lot of them, what they did was, instead of having strafe, they put on the shoulder buttons, the turning.
Right.
So you'd turn with the shoulder buttons, which was miserable.
GoldenEye is a good example, but even GoldenEye is different than a lot of other first-person shooters.
I mean, they
built cut it corners, too, right?
Yeah, yeah. To make it easier and make it more fun to do it.
Right.
So yeah, the CD version, the PlayStation version, and the Saturn version had full motion video. Did the version you play have videos?
No.
Yeah, so there are full motion videos in this in this game.
Like between the levels?
Yeah, some of the levels, not all the levels, okay, and at the beginning and at the end.
Okay, all I saw were still images with like text that would crawl over.
You're right. So the Steam version doesn't have the full motion video for some reason.
Interesting.
And if you go on YouTube, you can watch it. They're pretty bad. I've seen worse for the time, but they're still pretty bad. And they don't really tell you anything about the story.
Is it like fully animated or is it like actors?
It's like CG, okay. A lot of it. Right. Some of it is actors, but they're like hidden actors. Like you don't really see people's faces a lot. I mean, the end of it is just hands on a chessboard being like, now joined the cosmic game,
right,
or whatever. But it's not great. N64 version has a local four-player multiplayer.
I could see that being all right.
Yeah, it's all right. I don't know. No.
I think when everyone's on a level bad playing field, it's more acceptable, you know?
It's just hard because that game is like super, super dark. I remember the same thing happened with the John Romero game for the N64 they specifically made for the N64 called Daikantana.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was also super dark. I don't know. I can't, for me, like, I have eye issues. I'm like red-blue colorblind. I have to wear contacts. Mm-hmm. And like dark games, I just can't play because it just hurts me. I can't do it. So right. I have to turn up the gamma on all the games that I play typically, and that is just like, I just couldn't do it in that game. I couldn't see anything. So. Especially like the first level in Hexen where you're out in the woods and it's super, super dark.
Yeah.
I just couldn't do it. So N64 version of Hexen, do not recommend. No. PC version, however, if you want a different experience, it's not that bad. What did you enjoy the game? Did you enjoy playing?
I enjoyed the game. I enjoyed it more than I expected to.
I did the same.
Yeah, so we mentioned you pick a class, you spawn in the first level. What's different about this or a departure from Doom is that the levels are hubs. It's a little more open worldy.
It's not linear. Sort of. No, it's not linear at all, really.
Right. Well, there's certain critical paths, but yeah.
Right.
Right. It's not totally linear.
So the idea of a hub is that there's a central. You start a level in a central place, and then there will be portals that open that take you to another level within the level.
Right.
So I think there are six or five hubs. Five hubs in the whole game. Yeah. And then within each level, there's usually like three or four separate levels.
Right.
And you have to get pieces in those separate levels to advance in the main level, generally.
Right. So like, if I recall correctly, in the first couple of hubs, you're trying to find different switches.
Right.
And you'll activate a switch. And they're sometimes really hard to see. I found that I would walk.
They'll be like around corners.
Right. They'll be around, like hidden around a corner. Or like there were certain times where a key was on the ground and I just walked by it.
Oh, yeah. Times, yeah.
And just didn't see it.
I think on the third level, there's a key that's like right next to a door.
Yeah.
And I was like, where the fuck is this key? It's like, I need this key to advance. Yeah. And it just, I could never find it. I had to go to a walkthrough because it was really hard to, because switches aren't that bad actually, because you can look at a map and there'll be like a little. There'll be a line where the switch is, and you can see if it's pressed or not. But for keys, it's just lying there, so it's hard for you to see it.
So you bring up the map. I think the map is pretty crucial to... I mean, I found that I use the map constantly.
Well, the map. I think the map in any of these early Doom games was crucial. Critical. Yeah.
Just to explain, you know, you I think well, for my controls, you hit tab, and it brings up a... It's almost like it looks like asteroids, like
like a little bit.
All lines, and it's like a dynamically building map as you explore different parts of the world.
Right.
But it's live; it doesn't pause the game.
Right.
So you can move around in the map,
and you can get hurt.
Yeah, and you can get hurt and die and fall off a cliff and stuff. But as you said, like you can use the map to identify, like, oh, there was a switch or a door that I didn't visually see.
Right. There are some levels where the wall textures suck really bad.
Yeah.
I think probably the worst sub-level in this game was the Caves of Circe. I remember this specifically, which I think it was the second level, because it's a cave, and the textures are all the same on the floor, on the ceiling, and on the walls.
Right.
So it's really hard to tell where you're going. And then there's one specific part in that level where I was like, what the fuck? I don't know how to play at advance. I can't. I'm going into all these different sub-levels trying to find keys. And you have to fall down a hole that you can't see because all the textures are the same.
Mm-hmm.
And when you fall down that hole, it triggers a bunch of doors that open.
Right.
Ugh, that was super but fucking annoying.
I think that's been something that plagued those games even since Doom. Like, Doom, it's like the hidden or like the secret wall trick where it's like you just need it. I mean, at certain points in Doom, I felt you needed to just go up to a wall and hit use.
Yeah.
And see if it'll react.
Sometimes, yeah.
Just, you know, to get to certain areas. Right. And, like, they had their own limitations for what they could show. And maybe this was a way to artificially lengthen the playtime of the game or, you know, who knows why. But for whatever reason, in all these games, there's all these secret walls or walls that don't really look all that different, or I guess they're movable walls that don't look different from the regular walls that you're supposed to go up and interact with to progress.
Yes. And there's also a lot of times where they'll be like, oh, there's an area that you need to go to, but oh, sorry, the wall's going to crush you now.
Right, yeah.
And there's no autosave like in modern games. So if you don't know that wall's going to crush you, you might lose like 10 minutes of progress, which sucked sometimes.
Yeah, so I alluded to it earlier, but you know, whatever the Z Doom source port, thankfully extended the save list. You know, as you pulled it up with like F3 or F2 or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's funny. It's been ages since I've had to do this, but I like had a numbering system for my saves so that like they would sort properly, and I like had to add a message to each save so that if I didn't play for a day, I could come back and see like, oh, okay, like I found a key, and then had no idea what to do, and then I killed a bunch of guys, and then, oh, I needed this other key.
Yeah. All right.
I'm refreshed.
I did like, speaking about killing a bunch of guys, I did like, there was, on each map, it shows you how many enemies are left.
Really?
Yeah, it says at the very top, number of this, out of this, killed.
I
for monsters.
Completely missed that. Did not know that.
So,
but didn't they respawn?
No, so they like randomly spawn, but they can run out of spawns.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so after, there's guys that will just appear sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
There's rooms that are full with bad guys. You kill them all, and then a guy will appear sometimes, but there's only like a reserve number of those, and they only spawn in specific parts, places.
Okay.
So they don't spawn like on top of you. They spawn at one particular point on the map, or like a couple different points on the map. But yeah, I appreciated that because it wasn't. And usually when they spawned in guys, or I think always it was always like the lowest level guy.
Yeah.
So it was never like being a dick.
Right. Yeah.
About it, I never really in the whole game. And speaking of that, I never really felt pressure on the ammo front of this game until the second, the two last levels.
Yeah, so to clarify, like, at least with the, I think all the classes work this way, but you start with a melee weapon or a melee attack.
Yep.
And then your next weapon, you get a weapon that uses blue mana.
Right.
And then you get a weapon that uses green mana. And then your final weapon, which is like an ultimate weapon that you have to assemble by collecting pieces throughout the different levels. Eventually, when you get that, you get like a superpower weapon that uses both colors of mana.
At the same time.
Yeah, at the same time.
And it's kind of like the BFG.
Right.
From Doom.
Yeah.
So you have the Quietus for the fighter, you have the Wraith Mage for the cleric, and the Blood Scourge for the mage. Hmm. The Wraith Verge was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty OP.
Yes.
It shoots out a bunch of ghosts.
Yes.
That just like destroy
but everything. Did you ever use it against the big boss bad guy?
Yeah, he throws him back at
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that sucked.
It was scary. The first time you see all these ghost sprites like coming at you and you realize they're dealing damage to you, yeah, I just ran away.
That's what the enemies see.
Yeah, exactly. Taste of my own medicine. I mean, it's fair.
Weapons were pretty cool. I mean, I always hate it when there's too many weapons in games.
Yeah.
And you kind of get lost. Like, I feel like in Doom, the Gatling gun is pretty useless except against, like, one or two enemies, for example.
I feel like in most games, the Gatling gun is never as fun. Like, it's fun, but it's always so inefficient with
right.
the mana that, or ammo that it's, like,
right.
not practical to use.
Right. And also, like, the blue pulse rifle in Doom, I always felt like it was,
yeah.
not really that great of a gun. So there was, like, an extraneous amount of guns. But in this game, they all had their uses. So for the cleric, you have your little
the staff
mace.
Oh yeah, yeah. You start with the mace,
mace and then you have
which
this,
is pretty weak.
Yeah, then you have the I have it down here, the serpent staff.
Yeah,
which is.
Did you find that you found like serpent staffs in every level?
A couple levels, not every.
Is
level.
Is that just so that in case you didn't get it the
I
first
guess.
Time?
Yeah, it must be.
I couldn't imagine getting to the end of the game
without like, a serpent
without a serpent staff,
especially with the those demons that fly.
Yeah, the those, like imp things.
Yeah, the imp guys, those were tough to take down. Firestorm with the hands of fire.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And then the Wraith Verge. The fighter, he's got a hammer that he throws. Did you ever watch any gameplay of that?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
So the Hammer of Retribution. So it's a hammer, which he swings, but when he swings it, it tosses the hammer.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty.
That's how they give him a ranged weapon.
Yeah, yeah.
I do know that when you play with the fighter, they spawn less enemies that. Like less of the imps, for instance,
oh,
that like, you know,
okay.
fly around because they're naturally harder to melee.
Right. Yes, very hard.
What else does he get?
He gets the Timon's Axe. Timon's?
Timon's Axe.
Yes, which is just an axe that's like more powerful than your Spike Gauntlet. And then the Quietus. This multi-part rune sword is called Quietus because it is the ultimate way to silence your foes. After one slice from this steel companion, most monsters will willingly surrender their souls.
Hmm.
So.
I wanted to, blast through this game and maybe try it with a different character. But it is a long game.
It is a long game.
It's really
long. How long did it take you to beat this game?
I mean, my Steam thing probably says, like, 15 hours?
Yeah.
But I don't know how much of that.
I think mine was 13.
Right. It seemed longer than that.
At first I was like, oh, this game's pretty cool. And then I started getting into it and trying to find switches and all this other crap that is very hidden in the game. And I was like, it's kind of dragging on.
I didn't hate it. It's just, it just seemed so long. And, you know, the levels were open. You know, it was new for them to try like this hub thing,
right?
And like less linear.
And I think we didn't mention this, but it's very like Metroidvania-y.
Yeah,
it's like primitive Metroidvania.
Right, and it's just, you know, when you get stuck, you're really stuck.
Right,
you have no way of knowing, you know, if you're even in the, like, you know, because there's a hub and then like three plus maybe like five different levels around it.
Yeah.
You have no idea which one you have to go to right. find this random key or switch that you haven't hit yet.
Yeah, I think I took me until like the third level where I was like, when I got stuck, I was like, I'll go 10 minutes and then I'm going to go to a right. walkthrough. But then even when you go to a walkthrough, yeah. it's very hard to figure out where you are because right. it's non-linear.
Yes, exactly.
So it's like, what did I miss? Right. And I don't remember what I hit.
Yeah, totally.
So it's hard.
Yeah, it's just... The main negative I have is it seemed too obtuse at times to progress.
Yes. I mean, the biggest area for me was, as I think I said, the Caves of Circe, where you have to fall down a hole in order to advance.
Right.
And I was like, this is too much. But there were other parts where I was like, I have no clue what I have to do now.
Right. And the parts where I knew what I was doing were a lot of fun.
Right.
Like, there were areas where it was like, all right, there's 6 doors here. One of them is open. I go in that one door, do whatever's in there, push a button. The next door opens. That was fun. Yes. I knew what I was doing.
I did the same thing. I was just thinking that exact example yeah. with the prison cells.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I totally get this.
Right, and it was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun the whole time.
Right.
But then as soon as you hit a roadblock, you really like just didn't know what to do.
Right.
Or I didn't know what to do.
Yes. There's also in that same level, which is the second to last level, you open the last door. And the last door closes behind you. And if you don't have enough ammo, you will not be able to beat it. Because what happens
You're talking about the final boss?
The level before the final boss, there is a boss at the very end of that level who is the like mage dude who has the like... He can reflect back your stuff at you.
Yeah.
But before you get there, you have to fight like 3 waves of enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no ammo in the room. So I'm like, did you beat that part without doing anything?
So we haven't really touched on it yet, but there are items in the game.
Yes.
Did you use...
I used the Minotaur.
The Minotaur. So
the Minotaur you can throw a Minotaur and he will fight for you.
Yes, you can get a bunch of different items and you don't use them immediately and you have this inventory. And thankfully, it's 2019, I have a mouse with extra buttons on it. So I just set it up where, you know, I just push one mouse button and it uses an item and another one scrolls through the items. But... I have no idea what it must have been like.
I was hitting the bracket keys
to actually do it. Oh, yeah. Man, that must have been...
So I tried a couple times, and I
I was going to say is there's one of the items just gives you full 200 blue and green mana.
So I stupidly used that because I forgot, because they don't label the items what they do.
They're in the manual, I think. Right. But buy it on Steam, you're not gonna...
I didn't have a manual. So I used it like... an hour before I got to the boss.
That's brutal.
Yes.
Because you don't find many of those.
No.
Thankfully, I saved, I had a bunch when I needed them at the end.
I kept forgetting what that item did. Right. So there's a bunch of items that you can get armor, for example, and you have to use it in order to increase your armor score.
Yeah, and it's funny. It's like half-assed D&D because it gives you an armor class when you pick up armor. But then as you get damaged, it goes away. But it's never, you don't have... I don't know. It was never obvious to me what that armor was doing for me.
Right. It's doing damage reduction.
Yeah, I know that, but it was never obvious
perceivable. Right. It was just a number.
Right.
And the higher the number, generally the less damage that you take, maybe.
Exactly.
So it was weird.
Yeah, those are what the bracers gave you extra armor. They were the usable item did that.
There's usable armor items. There was
the deflection. There was a target.
Those things suck.
I used those towards the end just to push people off cliffs to save ammo.
I was using the flechettes a lot.
Yeah.
Which I thought a flechette was like a dart, but they call a flechette like poison for something.
Like a poison vial.
Yeah, it's weird.
Well, and they're different per class, too.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, so I know the cleric, when you use it, it drops it like a mine. Essentially, if you drop it on the ground and when an enemy runs into it, it creates a cloud.
You're right.
But I think the fighter throws them.
And they, bounce?
No, it's just a grenade. You, throw it and it explodes.
Is that why when I was watching a playthrough it was different? I was
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And so for each of the classes, the flechettes do different things, which I thought was interesting.
So, just going back to that final room in the second to last level, ran out of ammo, ran out of fleshettes, tried like three times. There's even an item that looks like a coffin with a cross on it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the fuck does this do? I forgot what it does. I even forgot now. I used the porcolator because I got the porcolator a bunch of times.
Oh, the porcolator was funny. Yeah.
Porcolator turns bad guys into pigs that you can easily kill. Yeah, and then you can
one hit kill them.
Right. So I ran out of everything, tried the room three times, and then I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to go and use a cheat code. And then I remembered all of the cheat codes from Doom, because there's like ID clip and ID god.
They're all like console commands, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So this one, the ammo cheat did not age well.
Okay.
The ammo, it's NRA.
Oh.
Is the, all right. For full ammo.
Yeah, it's, I get it though. It's kind of funny. Yeah,
kind of funny.
For items, there was one that like gave you full health that I used a lot. I found that multiple times.
I think
times,
that's the
Ankh or whatever. It's like it's like got hieroglyphics or something on it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
There was one that I had to use a couple times that I would. I think in Hub 4, I got into a room that I shouldn't have gone into.
Yeah.
And I was stuck in there. Yeah. And none of the doors were open.
Yep. And you needed a key because there's a key right around the corner.
Right. And I didn't get the key.
Yes. I got stuck in there a bunch of times too. And I got in there. You can't see the exit either.
Right. Yeah. Because you can.
I don't know how
this is intentional or what. But you can crawl through a little window.
Yes.
And then you go through the window into this room and you turn around and the window's not there anymore. Right.
Yep.
And so I had
same room I've got stuck in.
There is an item that spawns you back at the beginning level.
Yeah, it's like the exile rune or something.
Right. So I ended up from that point on, like a couple times having to use it. Like there was one time where the ceiling's coming down to crush you.
Right.
And I couldn't figure out how to get out. So I just used that item.
Did you? I figured that puzzle out on my own. Did you figure that out on your
own? No, I just kept using the item every time I had to go in there.
Okay. Because there's a. Around the corner from that room, there's a wall that shows you runes, and you have to match that wall to the wall that's in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I figured that out. Yeah. I was like, I patted myself on the back for that one.
But it's kind of cool that like they at least give you an item to get around. Yeah, at least.
Yeah,
you
know. when they fuck up in programming, they needed some way to get people out of it. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So we talked about this game a lot, actually.
The enemies I feel like are the one thing we didn't really touch on. You know, there's the orcs at the beginning. The centaurs were kind of...
Slaughtars.
The slaughtars were really annoying.
Yeah, super annoying.
They're centaur-likes with shields.
Yes, and they can block your projectiles.
And so what was your... Like, how did you approach them?
I
would just lure them into a doorway and then drop a flechette. Yes. And they would just like glitch out and eventually explode.
Okay. And make that noise, yes.
I'm glad you had the same tactic.
Yes. And then they start shooting projectiles at you, which is super fucking annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's the flying mage dudes.
Yeah, those guys are easy.
Yeah, they were pretty cool, though. They were like a neat, you know,
and they shot enemy. Spinning projectiles at you.
So they were cool for the deflection item, because if you if they were shooting stuff at you and you timed it, they would just all return to them and, like, kill everybody.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Didn't realize that was a thing. They had the swamp thing. Things.
The swamp thing things, yeah.
Things scared the shit out of me whenever they popped up.
It was neat that, like, it did seem, maybe I'm wrong, but at least to me it seemed like certain weapons were better, like did more damage against certain enemies. Like the swamp guys.
Yes, yeah.
You could one-hit kill them with the fire.
Yeah.
But if you were using the staff, it seemed like a waste of ammo to eventually kill them.
Yeah, and there's some that if you melee them, they do a lot, it's easier to kill them.
Right.
I did find that I was doing a lot of ammo conservation.
Yeah.
And I was just meleeing people.
Yeah, eventually you get to a point where you feel safe and then you can just...
Right. But even then, they don't allow you to stock up enough where you feel super safe.
Right.
So, and then you have the serpent guys that shoot stuff at you. They look like they look like a Violator from Spawn.
Yeah, they're the brown and green guys.
That was a deep cut, by the way. A Violator from Spawn.
The Spawn lore does not.
No.
He's
the arch nemesis of the Spawn.
Oh, okay.
Todd McFarlane joint.
So he was a good guy? Isn't Spawn a bad guy?
No, Spawn's a good guy.
Spawn's a good guy?
Yeah. Sort of.
Right.
I guess.
Okay.
We shouldn't talk about
You're talking about Spawn. The Soul Calibur character, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
the bad guys were cool. It would have been cool to have more bosses.
Yeah, there was only two, right?
Though the bosses that they had weren't all that fun.
Heresiarch?
the wizard, yeah, right?
The wizard.
Right, isn't he a wizard?
I think so. And, well, he's the king heretic.
But you fight him twice?
Yes.
Okay.
And then there's the serpent king.
And then there's also the thing that looks like...
It's actually Korax, I should say. He's a serpent rider.
Oh, okay. There was the thing that looks like Ripley from Metroid, right? Did you go into the room where it was like the huge lava pit and then a column in the middle
something? Yeah, but...
He was like a mini boss or something.
Yeah, he wasn't that
great.
But
you only see that guy once.
Yes.
It was like a unique enemy.
Yeah, and he wasn't even that hard.
He killed me a bunch.
Did he?
Yeah.
I just ran around the room in a circle.
Well, yeah. I tried to kill everything in that room and it didn't work out well for me.
Happens. Yes. And then, of course, you have mini bosses. You fight yourself at one point. At the end of the last
level. So I was a little confused by that. Yeah, because you... Well, you fight, like, each of the classes, right?
So the story goes is that there's... I think there were three warriors that set out and became evil.
Oh, okay.
And those are the three warriors that you fight, but they're the same sprite as you. So you fight a fighter, you fight a cleric, and you fight the mage.
They were a little anticlimactic.
Yeah, they're super easy. Because
I had the ultimate weapon... I mean, I had it earlier than that, but I just saved ammo knowing that I was going to fight them. And like with two shots, it just destroyed them.
I didn't really... So I didn't look up where I was going. I only looked it up if I got in trouble.
Right.
So when I ran to those guys, I was like, oh, interesting. Mm. This is the sprite, I'm assuming, for the fighter. And I was like, oh, interesting. This is my sprite, I think. So
they were pretty easy.
They were pretty easy. But you had to beat all three of them in order to unlock Korax, the final boss,
right,
who was not that hard.
No.
No. Not really at all, unfortunately. So the last level was kind of a letdown, I would say. But it was, I guess it was good because it was straightforward.
Yeah.
Because there you had three areas which were pretty straightforward. You didn't need to go back to them. You just go through them.
Right.
And then you unlock the path to the final boss.
Yeah, it was certainly the most straightforward, I think, of all the levels. Maybe the third world with the prison, the ones that we alluded to earlier, the prison cells.
Right. So, they made an expansion for this.
Hmm.
The Death Kings of the Dark Citadel.
Tell me about it.
Three additional hubs and deathmatch levels.
I think I'm good.
Yeah, I think I'm good too.
I enjoyed my time, but I don't want three more hubs. That sounds like a lot of work.
I don't even know if you can find that anywhere. You have to get like the original disc.
Oh, it's not? Probably. It's not for on Steam?
I don't think so.
Hmm.
So, where does this go on our ranking? Which currently goes, again, from Super Mario 64 all the way down to number 32, Sega Master System's Pro Wrestling.
So, I mean, we'll assume that we're just talking about the PC version, right?
Yeah, well, we can. Yeah, I mean, whatever. Yes.
I mean,
the main thing we're going to be talking about, referring to, is the PC version.
Okay. I don't want to dock it points because it had a shitty Nintendo 64 port.
Yeah, I agree. I would say that this is the fourth game originally out on the PC that we're going to be talking, that we're going to be adding to our list.
What are the other ones?
Hotline Miami, TIE Fighter, Extreme Warfare Revenge.
Oh, of course.
First game from 1995, 16th game from the 90s we're going to be adding to our list, and second FPS game. The first one was GoldenEye.
Huh, we need more FPS games.
Yes.
Okay.
So
do you want me to do the initial placement?
So, one thing I do want to talk about.
Okay.
A couple things. I have a couple bullet points here.
Okay.
Does this game have a legacy?
Did
they take elements out of this game, or was this a development dead end?
So we didn't talk about this much, but the major technical advancement of this game was that it allowed for level scripting, where you could hit certain points in levels and spawn certain creatures.
Oh, I didn't realize that wasn't in Doom.
Yeah, no, and well, it was far more complex than they were ever able to do in Doom. And in addition to that, it allowed for movable walls.
Oh.
Which was not something, like in Doom, they move up and down like doors, but this, like, you know, the levels transform at different times. Like, for instance, there's the one, I think it's in the third hub, where you'll...
The floors fall out.
Yeah, the floor falls out from underneath you. And, like, there's an earthquake. So, like, they were able to do... I mean, this game was, like, a technical achievement that, you know...
Right.
Obviously, future first-person shooters took that scripting and stuff like that and ran with it. So, I think that's probably its greatest legacy.
I would say there's also a game on Steam called The Medieval that says it's largely inspired by Hexen and Heretic.
Oh.
So they do have one game that is taking directly from it. I also say that just in general, the atmosphere in this game I felt was very good.
Yeah, the music was fantastic.
Yeah, music was really good as well.
That aged well.
Yeah.
I would listen to the Hexen soundtrack, honestly.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. But where does it go on our list?
Okay, so, I mean, do you have... you know, thoughts?
I can say, like, quite clearly, for me at least, I don't think it's better a game than Crazy Taxi, for example.
Oh, really? Wow.
Do you think it's a better game than Crazy Taxi?
I think
Taxi?
It is, actually.
Where do you think it goes?
I don't think Crazy Taxi's all that good. So Crazy Taxi's 24 out of 32.
Right. Where were you thinking before I said that?
So I'm looking above Crazy Taxi. You have Extreme Warfare, Revenge, Pilot Wings, Ninja Gaiden, River City Ransom, God of War.
Definitely not better than God of War.
I think I'm with you on that. God of War is just a better game.
I mean, I would rather play River City Ransom and Ninja Gaiden than this game currently today.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm not a big fan. I know you're a huge fan of Pilot Wings, so...
I do love Pilot Wings. I would rather play Pilot Wings than this.
I think
Pilot Wings had its own, like, technical achievements, too.
Yeah. Especially when it came... It's an earlier game. I also would say that... I think that I would much rather play Extreme Warfare Revenge, but that's a very, very niche thing.
Yeah.
For
I think I'd rather play this than it, but I think that's purely a, you know...
Personal preference.
Right, exactly. Thing.
I do think it's a more impressive game is Extreme Warfare Revenge, and that it's just very, very different from every game, and much is like a super deep game. So I will fight about it. But all right,
so might I suggest we start further down and work our way up?
Okay.
All right, so Contra Hardcore, that's 30 out of 32.
I think it's a better game than Contra Hardcore.
I think it's a better game. I think. Yeah, I mean, I have zero desire to play Contra Hardcore.
Yeah.
And I still want to play. You know, I was done with Hexen, but, you know,
right.
It was fun.
I like Paperboy a lot, but at the same time, and I think I would...
That's a 29.
Yeah, I think I would, like, almost rather play Paperboy as, like, a quick pickup and play game.
Mm-hmm.
But Hexen's a deeper experience, and I think it's... I don't know. It's tough.
I think it's more complete. I think
you
have to think, too... For a game to offer the replayability of, you know, three classes with completely different move sets, like, you know, different control.
Yeah.
You know, changes to the levels because of it.
I'd put it above Pro Wrestling.
For the NES?
Yeah.
At 28. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think that's pretty clear.
I am not a fan of Pokemon Snap.
I played Pokemon Snap recently, and that game did not age well. In my mind, it was so much better than I think it really is.
I mean, I didn't mind playing it, but I enjoyed playing Hexen more.
Yeah.
So I would put it above Hexen. I'd also put it above Super Hang-On.
Yeah.
Because I just think it's a more completeness of vision is something I think about a lot when I think about these games, and this game has a pretty complete sense of what it is.
Right. And, you know, how much more complex could you have made Super Hang-On? That's a fair question, but, you know, apples to apples, they're, you know, Hexen's a more complex game, and just, I agree with you, it's a more complete vision. Which brings us to Tapper at 25.
The thing about Tapper and Crazy Taxi, because they kind of exist in the same headspace for me, is that they are games that are addictive as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, you just want to keep going back to them. And
they're purely, or at least in their original releases, they are arcade games.
Right, you know, they're the original releases. I mean, even if you get, like, the Dreamcast or PlayStation 2 port of Crazy Taxi...
Right, it's still an arcade game in spirit.
Yes. The one thing that I'll say is a differentiator is that Crazy Taxi was a huge innovator in that it was, like, open arcade game, like open world game.
True.
So in some sense, for me, I think that this game should go in between Tapper and Crazy Taxi.
So you think what the openness of Crazy Taxi is what pushes it above?
I just also like that game is super fun. It's incredibly fun to me.
It's a good package too, you know, like the music fits it super well. Like the aesthetic is sweet.
I mean, there's music from that game where if you think about the game, you automatically just, the music starts playing in your head.
Yeah.
Because the aesthetic of the game is good.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear the announcer's voice.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And it is a complete package despite being like more shallow, you know, potentially than a game like Hexen.
I don't even know if it's a more complete game. I would just say
It's a complete package. It is, you know, they didn't cut corners. Like the aesthetic, the music, the, you know, the overall vibe, you know, everything about the graphics, it like fits.
Yes.
Like,
yeah. It's fun to play. The controls are there.
So what makes you put it above Tapper?
I would say that Tapper is not as complete and it doesn't have a lot of innovations for the time.
Right. There's just like, it's just pretty perceivable gap in quality between Crazy Taxi and Tapper.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And I think Hexen kind of fits in between it.
Right. Are we good with it there?
I think I'm good with it. So it'll be our new 25th out of 32 or 33 games.
25 out of 33.
So it's better than Tapper, Super Hang-On, Pokemon Snap, etc.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Great.
I originally, when I picked this game, I did not think it would go that high.
Honestly, for $5?
Right.
Worth it.
$5 on Steam, people. Go pick that game up.
Like,
try it out.
Funny anecdote. Rage 2 came out over the course of me playing this game.
Yeah.
I bought Rage 2. I played it for like half hour because I had to go to bed. I played it the next day for like an hour and a half. And I was like, I just want to play Hexen. And so I returned it.
You returned Rage 2?
Yeah.
Wow.
You can refund on Steam generally if you play like around 2 hours-ish. Right. Yeah, so I just refunded it and I was like, I just want to play more Hexen. I think it's better than Rage 2.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's intense.
Yeah.
It's an indictment of that game.
I mean, yeah. Rage 2 is sterile.
Ugh. Oh, boy.
So Hexen is not sterile.
Hexen has its own thing.
I believe what Hexen is trying to tell me.
John Romero. You are our hero. And he's making a new game.
Well, yeah. That's again, coming right?
Out. Yes.
I feel like he's been making a new game a couple times now.
Well, this game is actually like a reskin of Doom.
Okay.
It's like a WOD. What's what they call it? Right. Yeah. So it's like it's a new thing for him. But yeah, cool. So we have a game. It's our 33rd game on the list. Number 25 is Hexen. And thank you, Matt, for joining us.
Anytime.
You can follow us on the Twitter machine. It's at It's So Bad Pod. It's So Bad Pod at gmail.com is the email address. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. And of course, our endless list is available on our Medium page. It's linked in the podcast description, which I should have mentioned before, but it's on there. So you should be able to see where all of these games are in a ranking and check out our old episodes where we go through games ranging from Super Mario 64 all the way to pro wrestling for two different systems and many more. But we'll be back next week. This is It's So Bad. Thank you.